I'm speaking today with Houston Mayor Anise Parker, and we are talking about the five bond referendums relating to the city of Houston. That will be on the November ballot. Mayor Parker, just to get started, give me a brief high-level overview about what these referendums encompass. What are they about?
Well, for any government entity to take on long-term debt, we have to ask the public's permission. So just the short version is we're going to get pre-qualified before we take out our mortgage. The public has to agree that it's okay for us to take out debt. And the vote doesn't mean that we actually take out the debt. It just gives us permission to do that. There are other bond items on the ballot, but an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school are the same thing, according to the state attorney general. But a park, a police station, and a library are different things. And so I have to have a separate vote on each category of capital spending. And so I have five different items. I have a public safety item, a library item, a park item, a housing item, and a general health and sanitation, which is like garbage facilities and so forth.
Okay. And so each one has to be voted on individually, and you get a yes or no answer for each. Let's talk about the individual ones. I think the one that has gotten the most attention, certainly the one for which there's the most active campaign, is the one having to do with parks and recreation. So this one would allocate and give permission to the city to borrow up to $166 million for parks, in particular parks relating to the bayou. So what's this about?
Well, before I get there, the total bond package that the city is asking for is $410 million. It's the smallest request we've made in more than 30 years. The reason being that we no longer do debt financing for streets and drainage. So really, we're only asking permission to do debt financing for what I would call more like vertical projects, except for this parks piece, which has a very significant hike and bike trail component. And it is unusual in several respects. It's a huge amount for parks, $166 million. But more importantly, the reason that we're asking for so much for parks is that I was approached by private sector philanthropists, people who are interested in the park system and in hike and bike trails, and they pitched to me that they would go out and raise privately $100 million if I would ask the voters to match that $100 million with $100 million of public money so that we could, in a relatively short period of time, say a five-year period, put $200 million into our hike and bike trail system, finally connecting the dots or stringing the beads to put a linear trail system along every bayou that crisscrosses the city of Houston. We have 10 major bayous, and it would give us the most robust hike and bike trail system in the country. In order to take advantage of that private sector match, we put this parks item in at $166 million, $66 for sort of the normal parks activities and $100 million for this match. And the reason that people are seeing so much about the parks campaign is that, A, people are excited about parks, and they're very excited at the idea of being able to leverage these private dollars. But, B, because I encouraged the private folks who agreed to raise the money to go and do a separate campaign around, which will be item B on my bond election, in order to jumpstart the capital campaign. So as they're going out talking to the voters, they're also going out and talking to funders. And all of the other bonds are being represented by the same sort of public campaign to the voters, except the parks piece, and it's a standalone because of the benefit from helping to raise all this money.
Okay. I guess the next biggest piece of the package has to do with public safety. What does that entail?
Well, I'll take a step back for a minute. Before we decided to go to the voters this year, we go out for bonds every 5 to 6 years. We try to estimate what our borrowing needs are for, say, the next 5 years and ask for that, and then we spend it down, and as we get close, then we go out and ask for the next phase. But I'm a big data person, and we just completed a facilities assessment for every facility we own in the city of Houston, more than 400 facilities, and a complete comprehensive facilities assessment where we hired an outside firm with $1 million price tag to come in and do the work. So for every facility, I know whether it needs a new HVAC, I know whether it needs a new roof or how soon we're going to need it, all the way to do the walls need to be painted. I mean, a very comprehensive look, and a lot of that information is available to the public on the city's website, so they can see that. One of the areas where we had a lot of physical needs is our fire stations. We have a lot of overhaul work we need to do. Some of our fire stations are aging, and fire stations are used 24/7. As are police stations, but we have a whole lot more fire stations, and there are a number of facilities there that we need to take care of. It might surprise folks, though, that even though the police or the public safety bond request is $144 million, that actually doesn't allow us to redo the downtown courts jail police complex, which is something that's going to take a lot more time and planning to get to. But, for example, it's the expansion of Fire Station 55, which is out in District D, new fire station to serve the Pinebrook area in District E. Fire Station 22 is going to get an expansion in District I, and a whole bunch of just general maintenance work.
Okay. The other items on there, the general government that you said had to do primarily with like sanitation, libraries, and housing. Those are all considerably smaller. But tell me briefly what will we be getting for those items?
Well, the $28 million for libraries, that includes a renovation of the Montrose Library in District C, renovation in District F of the Robinson West Chase Library, Moody Library replacement in District H, a Meyer Library replacement in District K. A lot of these projects are in the existing CIP and our capital improvement projects plan, but if you look at our capital projects plan, and we do 5-year increments, so every year we roll the current year off and put a new year on. If you go to look at the list that council has voted on and the public has seen, the out years don't have funding, and so you can quickly go to the capital plan and see what's going to be funded by these projects. But so that's libraries. Housing is an interesting one. We don't spend a whole lot of housing dollars, local housing dollars, for public housing, low-income housing. Those are federal dollars that we bring down. But we are running into a problem in that I have a lot of blighted properties across the city of Houston, including a lot of really dreadful multifamily units. And as you may be aware, I've been a big proponent of demolition. I started Demolition Day. We've had 3 annual demolition days where we aggressively go across the city with private sector help to take down single-family properties, and we've also targeted some really large abandoned multifamily properties. But unfortunately, taking down a multifamily apartment complex where the owner is basically judgment-proof or has disappeared can cost a couple of million dollars. So we're asking a very small amount, $15 million, which on the ballot it will say for affordable housing, but the goal is to use it for demolition so that then we can come back and build a replacement with the federal dollars that we get. And then you mentioned the fifth category, which is general health sanitation items. We're going to renovate the West Park Recycling Facility out in District J. We're going to renovate the central depository in District I for recycling. There's a possible repair of the Sunnyside Multi-Service Center in District D. We're still trying to figure out what exactly we want to do. We know we have to do something. We just have to figure out the final plan. And there's some, unfortunately, repairs to City Hall and the City Hall Annex. City Hall is a lovely historic building, but I can sit in my office and look at a five-foot crack that's about half an inch wide from some foundation settling. So things like that that we're going to do with this money.
Okay. As I recall, when council voted on this, a couple of members expressed concerns about the city's overall debt level. I guess some of this might have been tied to the previous exercise with the long-term finance committee. You know, what is the concern? I mean, what is the city's debt level? How much, you know, is this a concern, the amount that's being taken on in these bond measures?
You know, I know you're going to hate me to say this. It's a sort of a yes and no. I am extremely concerned about the long-term costs of pensions in the city of Houston, and I have been pounding the drum on our pensions and pension underfundings since I took office. It's a major issue with me. We also have long-term liabilities for health benefits for our retirees. But that said, that doesn't get calculated into our debt model. The pension underfunding costs, I mean, we can make change. We could do a whole separate interview on pensions, and I'd love to do that sometime. But we know what our costs are going to be for our pensions, or at least roughly in the near term. And we estimate that when we construct our debt models. The debt models show the actual amount of bonded indebtedness that the city owes. And the way we came up with this $410 million is that we have a constantly maintained debt model. We show all of our debt. We've been really aggressive between the controller's office and the mayor's office on refunding or refinancing debt. This is the lowest interest rate environment we've had in certainly most of our lifetimes and maybe never see again. And so we have refinanced everything in sight. And at the same time, we have not refinanced, as has been done in previous years, we have not refinanced to extend the terms. We have refinanced to bring the interest rates down. And as we have done that, we have freed up capacity. So we said, how much can I afford to borrow over the next 5 years? And our calculation was $425 million. I said, okay, give me a little breathing space. So we came down to $410 million, and that's how we divided that money up among the five categories. I have easily $1 billion worth of needs from the facilities assessment. But we looked at what can we afford. This will allow us to take care of the immediate priority life safety needs and the facilities assessment needs, where if we spend a little money now, we can save a lot of maintenance costs down the road. And if the economy picks up, if you know, conditions improve, we can always go back to the voters and ask for more bonding capacity into the future. But with $410 million over the next 5 years, we can do this without a tax increase. And that was my goal, is to not go to the voters with a tax increase.
what happens if the voters say no to any or all of these? What is the consequence from your perspective?
Work in those areas will pretty much grind to a halt. I mean, if the housing item, that's new money. It's not something we're currently spending. It would be new money to do demolitions. It would severely curtail our ability to demolish these problem major apartment complexes. These libraries that I mentioned earlier, they are in the CIP. Citizens want to see those redone, and the council has voted to redo them. But absent this money, they wouldn't happen. So the short version is we would simply stop doing any new capital projects, certainly by year 4 and 5 of the existing CIP. And then for the parks item, we don't have to borrow the $100 million if the private sector doesn't come up with $100 million, but my understanding is they already have about $20 million in pledges, and so they would come to us with their $20 million, and then we would borrow our $20 million and go on down the road. If they come to us with $40 million, we'll borrow $40 million for the match. If the voters don't approve it, we would lose the ability to leverage those dollars.
Okay. So give me your best sales pitch then. Why should people vote yes on these 5 bond issues?
To the best of my knowledge, the city of Houston has never had a failed request of the voters for capital items. We have more data to back up this bond request than I've seen in my time in city government, because we have this facilities assessment, an in-depth analysis of really the capital needs across the city of Houston. It's a tool we've never had before, and voters have more access to what the city of Houston is doing from a financial standpoint than they ever had in the past. You can go to our financial accountability webpage at the city and see a tremendous amount of information. You get to see the essentially the check register through the controller's office. At the same time, the reason that I think voters in Houston have never turned down a city bond request is that they know how fast the city is growing. They know the needs of the city. They see those needs every day, and they recognize that in a growing, dynamic city, you have to continue refreshing your infrastructure. And because we brought this forward in a fiscally prudent manner and are not asking for a tax increase, I think voters will respond to all of those things.
Okay. Mayor Anise Parker, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Can I throw one other item in?
Oh, certainly.
We have these 5 bond items, but there are 2 other votes that people will need to cast.
Yes. Charter referendum. I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about those or not. Go ahead.
Well, we can only amend the city charter every 2 years. And while I acknowledge that the city really needs a comprehensive charter change commission to delve into, the charter was written nearly 100 years ago, and there's a lot of language in there that doesn't belong there. And whenever we have an opportunity, we don't have other things on, we don't have a forced charter item, it's a good idea to clean up the language. And we have some pretty egregious language, actually some kind of fun stuff. I didn't realize that previous mayors had the ability to appoint the HISD board and basically run it. Can't do that really anymore, but the language was still there. Apparently, city employees used to be exempt from jury duty. I'm not exactly sure why that was a good idea. The previous mayors used to be able to regulate the price of, bread and milk, things like that. just interesting little artifacts. And it's going to be, anybody who'll read it, it's going to be very clear. It just says we're removing language that is obsolete, illegal, no longer appropriate. It used to be legal in the city of Houston to treat the disabled less favorably than people who are not disabled. Well, that's a clear violation of federal law and the ADA. So let's just take that language out of our charter.
Okay. And is there one charter item or two? I don't remember.
There are two charter items. The other is a similar cleanup of weird language. It refers to, if you want to recall a mayor, for example, not that I would suggest anybody wants to do this, but if you wanted to recall a mayor or a council member, it would be based on the number of votes cast in the Democratic primary for mayor. I can't tell you how many decades it's been since we had a Democratic primary for mayor. So why have a tool that is purported to be in the charter, but there's no effective way to exercise it?
Okay. Well, thank you for that clarification. I wasn't sure you wanted to talk about those issues or not, so I didn't plan to ask about them. But thank
you. We're not running a campaign for them. We are hoping that once the voters that find their way down to the bottom of the ballot to look at all these different bond items, we'll read them, and they're kind of self-evident, and so we are hoping that they pass. It's not no harm, no foul if they don't, but it's always nice to have that cleanup language. And I'll just gratuitously throw in that I am strongly voting for the Metro ballot item, and I will be out campaigning for it as well.
Okay. Mayor Anise Parker, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks for taking the time.